First Timothy chapter 2, I'm going to read the first three verses. This is an interesting portion of Scripture. Let me read the Scripture to you, and then I'm going to take you on a little Bible study back in Proverbs that I think will give you something that's very usable in praying for those that are in authority. In chapter 2, verse number 1, notice what it says here. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. And then, notice verse 2, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and, what kind of life? Peaceable life in all godliness and honesty, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Father. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us, Lord, as we are pursuing this subject of peace. And Lord, help us as we view the Scriptures, take tally of our lives, and help us to produce priorities in our life. Set up the priorities that will produce peace in our life. Bless this time of studying the Bible together, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the Bible says this. If we energize ourselves in prayer, and we should. Matter of fact, it's very interesting. You do not find this phrase anywhere else in the Bible. Just look at verse number 1. First of all, that's kind of interesting. So this isn't just some minor thing that God is using Paul to write to a young preacher about. He says, let me tell you the priority one event that needs to go on in your church. It says, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Now, we did a study on the priority of prayer and how prayer brings peace. But now we're going to expand that idea a little bit and take a look at not just peace within our heart, but a quiet and peaceable life. How many of that sounds good? In fact, I met with our staff here this week, and we've had a little bit of a busy stretch here with getting ready to camp and all of that, and then we're going to start school up, and so we're doing those things simultaneously. It's probably not, been an overdue burden on the church, but the staff's been real busy. And I said, guys, if we can we'll get through family camp, we'll get the school year started, then I promise you, I'm going to give you part of your lives back. And sometimes what happens is we stop living life and life starts living us. And it's like things get out of control. And the older I get, the more I value peace and quiet. A quiet and peaceable life. And so that sounds good. We want that. But added to that, the Bible says, in all godliness and honesty, for this is good, acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. And so God says amen to that. Now he says if you want to live a quiet and peaceful life, then pray specifically for all men generally, and specifically for kings and for all that are in authority. And so I'm going to teach this morning on this subject, peace through the priority of praying for our leaders. Peace through the priority of praying for our leaders. Now, say, preacher, our leadership in the White House, our leadership in Congress, our leadership on whatever level you want to point at, we can quickly become very dissatisfied. It's not hard to look and be drawn to criticism. We are not being led in a direction that's going to result in the average American living a quiet and peaceful life. We're not being led that way. Now watch this. Look right up here. We can sit and gripe about them, or we could say, maybe it's because we have not done what the Lord told us to do in this matter of prayer. This is a first of all request. You know, somebody said, if you don't vote, you have no reason to complain. I'm going to add to that. If you don't pray, you have no reason to complain. It's easy to sit around and talk about some of the bad things that are happening in leadership positions, it's another thing to look in the mirror and say, have I obeyed the Bible in praying, in intercessory prayer, standing before the throne of grace, asking God to bless and help those that are in that authority position? Now, folks, I'm not going to defend some of the foolishness, and I'm certainly not going to defend any of the wickedness that's going on and some of the agenda that's being proposed. But let me just throw this out to you folks, and I think any of you that have been involved in leadership in any realm, whether it's out in the workplace, whether it's whatever it is, you know what? If you have never sat in the seat, most of us have no idea what it's really like. And as much as we want to sometimes be critical of our president, whether it's our current one or former ones, the honest truth is, can you imagine, come on, look up here, can you imagine the pressure of that position? Can you imagine what it would be like? It's easy to look at members of Congress, but can you imagine? And so I think what God has given us to do here is to pray for them. I want to say something else, okay? Take it and think about it. I delete certain things that people send to me in my computer, my email. Let me say this. I don't agree with some of the decisions that our leaders are making and our current president's making. I'm just going to tell you that. And neither do you, and neither did you on the last five. You know, I don't care who it is. I'm not saying one party's good, one party's bad. I'm just saying whoever's in there. But listen to me, folks. I am going to respect the position. I'm going to respect the office. There's a difference between somebody saying, here, I want to send this to you. You need to be aware of what our president is doing or proposing. It's another thing to send me stuff that is derogatory and sometimes mean. And I've even had people send me stuff that's filthy. I don't know what people are thinking sometimes. I'm not into that. I'm just flat telling you, I'm not into it. If I open it up and there's... listen, folks, scorning is scorning. Now, this is good for us. Yeah, that's good. We sometimes cross lines. Scorning, scorning, no matter who the leader is, no matter whether you agree with them or not. You can disagree with the person's decision or position in a matter, but that man is the president of the United States. And because of the office he holds, I hold that office in sacred respect. And so I don't care who it is, I'm not into this and not going to be into this debasing of a leader. I just, when I see that stuff, I delete it. As soon as I see it, I don't read it, I just delete it. Now, you want to send me an article, you want to send me something we need to be concerned about or pray about, that's fine. But just to send me things that mock a man, I'm not any more open to that than I would be if you sent it to me about a pastor, or you sent it to me about some other leader, or a child. Watch this: a child would send that to another person about their mom or their dad. Okay. Amen. Come on now. And so, you know, you can't teach your kids selective scorning. If you teach them to scorn a leader, they're going to think you gave them a green light to scorn leadership. And so there's a difference between having a respect for a position and for an office and having a disagreeance with the man as far as the direction he's supposed to lead. And I hope that helps you. I'd like to see Christians check out of that. I'd like to see Christians stop that. If you're going to search the internet for that type of stuff, let me ask you a question. How much time have you spent praying for the President of the United States? How much time have you spent praying for him? Now I'm going to take you to Proverbs. Let's go over that direction. Because I believe there is some very specific things that the book of Proverbs teaches us about leadership. And from these responsibilities, we can compile a prayer list. So what I'm going to teach you, and what we're going to have to kind of move here, but what I'm going to teach you is not... It's not. I don't want to just tell you to pray for our leaders. I want to teach you how to pray for our leaders. In Proverbs chapter 16 and verse number 12, I want to Again, if you've got a piece of paper or back of your bulletin somewhere and a pen where you can jot these things down, it'll help you. I'd really like to see our church put together a prayer list for our national leaders, but not just to pray for them, but to know how to pray for them. In Proverbs chapter 16, verse 12, I'm going to read a lot fast, so stay with me. But notice what it says here. It is an abomination to kings to commit wickedness, for the throne is established by righteousness. Now, when you see the term kings in the book of Proverbs, of course, that is referring to national leadership at that time. And so it is not a stretch for us to be able to take the principles that the Bible teaches about kings in the time of Israel and apply them to our leadership in our country today. Now notice what it says here. It is an abomination to kings to commit wickedness. Number one, pray that our leaders would live righteous lives. So when I pray for President Obama or I pray for other national leaders, state leaders, the first thing that I pray about is, Lord, please help them to live a righteous life. Let me say a couple things about this. It is, the Bible says, an abomination to kings to commit wickedness. Now, is it right for anybody to commit wickedness? Absolutely not. It's not right for anybody to do it. But when you are in a trusted leadership position, it goes from just being wrong to being an abomination. You know, increased leadership responsibilities ought to be paralleled with increased holiness. Listen, leadership ought to. I don't understand the mentality that I'm seeing. It's almost like people in today's culture, today's society, if they get a position of power or leadership, they try to work it to see what they could get by with instead of understanding the responsibility to live righteous because of that position. And so, number one, pray that our leaders would live righteous life. It is an abomination to kings to commit wickedness. And what that means, young people, is it's wrong for you to be wicked. And don't say, well, it's because I'm not this or that. No, it's wrong for you to be wicked. It's an abomination for me to be wicked. Well, I'll just put it right on here. Okay? For pastors to do something that's wrong, yeah, somebody else does it, it's wrong too. For them to do it, you say, preacher, are you saying that if I'm in a leadership position, I should be held to a higher standard? Yes! Yes! You know, I'm be honest with you. I'm discouraged, devastated. I'm not despairing. But I am sad by what I'm hearing in ministries. I'm just saddened by it. I'm just sickened by it. Listen, I'm not throwing stones at anybody. But I'm just saying, we have got to realize that if we have a trusted position, then we have to live up to that trusted position by the grace of God. What are you saying? I'm saying this. Watch this. It's wrong for your children to do wicked, but mom, dad, it's an abomination for you to do wicked. Sorry. You're not 14. You're not 12. You're not 7. You're not 18. Okay, what I'm saying is leadership needs to live a righteous life and understand that righteousness is what gives you, a commitment to righteousness is what gives you the right to lead. Notice it says in the second part of that verse, for the throne is established by righteousness. And so now let me have you go over to Proverbs 31 real quickly. I want to show you this. Proverbs 31, what does that mean? Well, notice the words here in Proverbs 31. The words of King Lemuel, verse 1. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. Thank God for godly mothers. This king was taught a standard of life as he was prepared for what God would have him to be. And he was taught this by his mother. Now notice verse 2. What my son, and what the son of my womb, and what the son of my bowels? Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor the princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any afflicted. Now, Watch this. Hey, preacher, is it right for anybody to drink strong drink and drink fermented wine? Well, if you were here last Wednesday night, you heard a Bible study on that, and if you took an honest look at the scriptures with me, you had to come to the same conclusion. It's not right for anybody. But for someone in authority? You know, Brother Eric Miller does such a good job on the, what's the things he puts out, the survey, what is it? Yeah, voter's guide. That he goes and asks all our leaders, you know, what's your position on this? How did you vote on this and all of this? I think you ought to add a question. Do you drink? You ever drink booze? Ever? Drink booze? Can you imagine if every politician lost his job tomorrow who was a drinker? Brother, I'd have to send one of y'all to go out up to Washington and run the place while they figured out what to do. I read a stat one time and I looked for it and I couldn't find it. And I think it was, I know it's an old stat because it came out of that, any of you ever see that big book, 7,700 illustrations? I think Brother J.R., you got that book. We talked about it in our preaching class. But it was an old stat, but it said it counted the average number of cocktail parties for government leaders or officials that happened on an average day in Washington, D.C. And it was ridiculous. Look right up here. Let me help you. All right, these are men that are showing up and casting votes that are determining the direction of a nation. And the night before, they're drinking booze. If they drunk booze and got behind the wheel of a car, they're going to wreck the car. They're behind the wheel of a nation. Now, is it wrong for Joe Blow down the road to drink? According to the Bible, it is. It is an abomination for one of our leaders to grab a cocktail and sit there and sip it when he's in a position of authority. Oh, this is good. Isn't this good? We've gotten too used to sin, haven't we? You mean they shouldn't drink? Yeah, I think we ought to start showing up to these. You know, you want to come to these little... Can I ask you a question? Do you ever drink alcohol? Ever drink alcohol? Wow. You think you don't have anybody to vote for now? Ask that question. And notice what it said in verse 3. Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. Now, I'm going to tell you, leadership is being destroyed because of booze, drugs, and women. It's crazy. Here's another question. Stan, you ever go to one of these forums? Sir, you always been faithful to your wife? Okay, well, you shouldn't ask. Their private lives, none of you. Hey, there's... What? I want to put someone in here that has the discernment to make choices of the direction of my nation. And they can't manage and curtail that area of their life. They don't have the discipline in that area of their life. So, what are you saying? I'm saying this. Number one, pray for our leaders, that our leaders would live righteous lives. Go to chapter 8, Proverbs chapter 8, verse number 15. I'm going to have to hurry. Here we go. Proverbs 8, 15. Before we read verse 15, look at verse 1. Doth not wisdom cry and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places by the way, in the places of the path. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. So wisdom in chapter 8 is personified, given a personality, made human. And it's crying, it's talking, it's speaking. Notice in verse 15 what it says, by me kings reign, and princes decree justice. Number one, pray that our leaders would live righteous lives. Number two, pray that our leaders would seek the wisdom of God. Oh, we need wise leaders. We need leaders that have wisdom. You know, I read the other day about King Solomon, and it was fascinating that God, when He gave him the opportunity to ask for anything, said, give me understanding, give me wisdom so that I could rightfully rule our people. Go to the average politician today, the average leader, and say, okay, you know what, I'm not a genie, but you get one wish. And you know what, how many of them would say, please, please, if I only get one wish, give me wisdom and discernment so that I can lead, help lead a nation. The hunger for wisdom, the searching for wisdom. So, number one, prayer request, that they would live a righteous life. Number two, that they would seek the wisdom of God. Number three, look at chapter 16, verse 10. I'm going to rush past a couple of these so that we can get down some. I'll spend a little more time in. Chapter 16, verse 10, a divine sentence. Chapter 16, verse 10, Proverbs. A divine sentence is in the lips of the king. His mouth transgresseth not in judgment. Pray that our leaders will be righteous in their decisions. We want them to live righteous lives. We want them to seek the wisdom of God. But we also want them to be righteous in their decisions. A divine sentence is in the lips of the king. Now, a sentence is necessary when there is a dispute, when there is something that he's making a judgment call on. A divine sentence is in the lips of the king. His mouth transgresseth not in judgment. When he's got to make a judgment call, God, please help him to decide rightly. Help him to make the right decision. Too many leaders are concerned about making the popular decision. Make the right decision. I'd rather people spend the rest of their life criticizing the decision I make, but live, put my head on my pillow at night and know I made the right decision, whether or not anybody understands it or not. And so pray that our leaders will be right in their decisions. Too much checking of the polls. Okay, too much wetting your finger seeing which way the wind's blowing. Let me just, listen, this will help you. Dads, moms, because we're going to get to us. We're having a good time because we're picking on politicians for a while here. We're going to get to, listen, if you are a leader in any area of your life, you're as responsible for these things, and I'm as responsible for these things as our President of our United States. You know what our responsibility is? Be righteous in your decisions. Make right decisions. Proverbs 25, verse 2, shores that up with another verse. Proverbs 25, verse 2. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter. And leadership wants to, listen, if you're going to make the right decision, then you've got to take the time to search something out. You've got to take the time to get the facts. You've got to take the time to study and understand and then make the right and correct decisions. And preacher, we're human. We're never going to get everything right. I agree 100%, but it shouldn't be because of laziness. It shouldn't be because of not doing due diligence. It shouldn't be because we're not trying to do our homework. It shouldn't be because we try to gather all of the evidence and search out the matter. But once we've done that, make a right decision. You know, here's the theme for your life. Here it is. Do right. I think old Dr. Bob Jones, the senior, had it right. Do right. Do right if the stars fall. You know what he was saying? He said, if a decision is the right decision to make, but if you make it, the world comes to an end. That's what he was saying when he said, do right till the stars fall. We say that, we don't think it through. He said, if the universe collapses, making the wrong decision would save the universe, making the right decision would make the stars fall. Do right if the stars fall. Listen, folks, you cannot go wrong doing right. We rationalize things. Well, this isn't the right decision, but you know what? It's the right decision. It's the wrong decision for the right reason. Now stop it. You start compromising, and pretty soon you're going to make an excuse for everything. And so, make the right decision. Number four, Proverbs 20, verse 8. Well, this would be an encouragement to a nation. Proverbs 20, verse number 8. A king that sitteth in the throne of judgment. Wow, watch this. A king that sitteth in the throne of judgment scattereth away all evil with his eyes. Pray that our leaders will be enemies of evil. Enemies of evil. You know, evil comes in the presence of somebody that's in authority. Their eyes alone ought to look at it in such a way as to warn it, you best get. Okay? Now, compare that to what our president got up and proclaimed here a couple months ago. God help us. God help us. And I'm going to tie these two together. Verse 26 in the same chapter, number 5, pray that our leaders will punish the wicked. Notice what it says, Proverbs 20, verse 26, a wise king does what? Scattereth the wicked and bringeth the wheel over them. You know, it ought to be the determination of everyone in a leadership position to have zero tolerance with evil and zero tolerance with wickedness. We certainly shouldn't court it. We certainly shouldn't compromise with it. We should scatter it, and we should bring judgment upon it. Listen, folks, leaders today, they don't get it. It's heartbreaking. It's about self-preservation, not the preservation of a nation. And so, now, think about this as we're compiling this prayer list. Pray that our leaders would live righteous lives. Pray that our leaders would seek the wisdom of God. Pray that our leaders will be righteous in their decisions. Pray that our leaders will be enemies to evil. Pray that our leaders will punish the wicked. Number 6, Proverbs 25, verse 5. Proverbs 25, verse 5. Pray that our leaders would surround themselves with wise counselors. Proverbs 25, verse 5. Take away the wicked from before the king, and his throne shall be established in what? Now, when they say from before the king, that's talking about his multitude of counselors. That's talking about the people he gets advice from. Take away the wicked from before the king, and his throne shall be established in righteousness. Pray that our leaders would surround themselves with wise counselors. Say, preacher, I'm reading this list, and you're right, we need to pray for these things, but this just isn't happening. This is almost discouraging to pray this list. Watch this, maybe it's not happening because Americans have not obeyed God in praying properly for leadership. How many of you really believe prayer changes things? I'm convinced of it. And we have not because we... What would happen? What would happen if a nation of Christians just decided that they were going to go before the throne of grace and plead before God on these matters? Proverbs 16, verse 13 gives us, again, another verse that fortifies this thought of leadership surrounding themselves with wise counselors. Proverbs 16 and verse number 13. Righteous lips are the delight of kings, and they love him that speaketh right. And so what they want, boy, this is good. And if you can learn this, it'll help you in your life. You know, some people want to surround themselves, young people get this. Some people want to surround themselves with people who will tell them what they want to hear. But a king, a wise king, says, I'm going to surround myself with people that will tell me what I need to hear. They're going to call out righteousness and point out what's right and what's wrong. That's why I've got them there. And you know what? Listen, folks, I mean this. Any leader that has to surround himself with a bunch of yes men, come on, is a weak leader. He's a weak leader. And so that's a lot of times what's happening. We have leadership positions, whether it's in a church or whether it's in a nation, and what's happening is men are surrounding themselves with people that are fortifying to them their what they believe they want to hear instead of tell them what they need to hear. Amen. Number 7. Pray that our leaders would not succumb to greed. Look at Proverbs 29, verse 4. Proverbs 29, verse 4. The king by judgment establisheth the land, but he that does what? Receiveth gifts overthroweth it. And so when I pray for our leaders, I want to pray this. Pray, dear God, please help our president not to succumb to greed. Help him not to be able to be bribed or bought. Help him not to be focused on material possessions, but help him to be focused on righteous judgment. And this is the honest truth, and you all know it's true. Sad, 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 sad. The rich lobbyists, come on, are in the halls of Congress, and hanging around the fringe of authority, And I mean by the hundreds, and they have deep pockets. And men, a lot of times, men that were sent to Washington and vowed when they got there that they would judge righteously and they would lead correctly, soon succumb to the quiet, catch you in the back hallway. Let me tell you how we can help you if you'll help us. And after a while, right and wrong went out the door. And I'm going to vote according to who is greasing my palm the most. Sad, isn't it? All right, let me give you the last one. Proverbs 29:14, and then I'm going to take 3 or 4 minutes and wrap this up because this is good. Proverbs 29:14, the king that faithfully judgeth the poor, his throne shall be established forever. Pray that our leaders would not be a respecter of persons. The king that faithfully judges the poor, his throne shall be established forever. And this kind of ties to verse number 7, but again, listen, I don't care if the person that you're making a decision about can't do anything for you. They're the poorest person in the United States of America. You would still judge righteously for that person and fight to protect that person. If they have nothing, God says, I'll bless it. I'll establish your throne forever. Now think about this. I know I've given you a lot. Sunday school, coffee's not kicked in. What has kicked in, the water's bothering you with it. But stay with me here, all right? Peace to the priority of praying for our leaders. Heavenly Father, I want to pray for my president. I want to pray for President Obama. I want to pray that he'd live a righteous life. I want to pray, dear God, that he'd please seek the wisdom of God. I pray, Lord, that he'll be righteous in his decisions today. I pray, Lord, that he will be an enemy of evil and will punish the wicked. I pray, God, dear Lord, that you'd help him to listen and surround himself with wise counselors, and that he wouldn't succumb to greed, but he would be, and he would not be a respecter of persons. Guide him and help him today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I know you got 500 Obama jokes. Do you have an Obama prayer? Do you have an Obama prayer? Now, one of the reasons, and I taught this when I taught the Bible study when we were going through our prayer year, you're focusing on prayer. I talked about the 7 prayer requests of Jesus Christ, 7 things Jesus asked us to pray for. And I told you, that is not a random list. There's a reason that he asked us to pray for these things. Let me just remind us in the last few minutes, folks, that as easy as it is to be critical of somebody else that's in a leadership position in these areas, every single person in this room, probably everyone in this room, even our young people, our teenagers, to some degree, you're a leader. Somebody's watching you. Somebody's following you. Somebody's being swayed by you. And so, here we go. Lessons for all leadership. What are the 8 lessons that we learn as we pray this? Live a righteous life. If you're going to lead, live a life, righteous life. Seek the wisdom of God. Be righteous in your decisions. Be the avowed enemy of evil. Punish the wicked. Surround yourself with wise counselors. Refuse to be bought. Do not become a respecter of persons. Now, not only is this a good prayer list to pray for our president and members of Congress and our leadership in the State House here and even in our local leadership, but young people, it would be a great prayer list to pray for your mom and dad. Or, dear Lord, please help my dad to live a righteous life. Help him, dear God. I know Satan is has all kinds of temptation. Help him to live a righteous life. Help him to seek the wisdom of God. Help him to be righteous in all of the decisions that him and mom have to make today. Help him to have a heart against evil and a willingness to punish wickedness. Wait, preacher, if I pray that, I'm in trouble. Maybe that's why God wants you to pray it. Okay. I pray, Lord, that they would listen to wise counselors. I pray they wouldn't succumb to greed, dear God. There's nothing good down that road. And I pray they wouldn't be a respecter of persons. Bless them and help them, dear God, as they lead our family. In Jesus' name. Isn't that good prayer? That'd be a good prayer request to pray, church members, for your pastor. Lord, I pray that my preacher today, that he'd live a righteous life. I pray that he would seek the wisdom of God. I pray that he would be righteous in the decisions he has to make today. And I pray that you'd keep him an enemy of evil and a willingness to punish the wicked. I pray that you'd help him to surround himself with wise counselors. He wouldn't succumb to greed. He wouldn't be a respecter of persons. Help him today. Wouldn't that be good? Wife, that might be a good list to pray. Her list to pray for your husband as he leads the family. Hey, guys that work out in the real workaday world, how about this? How about praying for your boss with that list? What I'm saying is this. It's a two-edged sword. Yes, we should pray these things for our leaders. But as we lead, we should not think that they should be held to a standard that we shouldn't be held to also. And so as we pray for these things, this is the great thing about prayer, okay? The Bible says, come boldly to the... Oh, okay. So when you're praying, you're where? I believe this. I was taught this. I have a hard time arguing it. I believe, if you study it out, when you pray, I know physically you're where you're at, but I believe because of the presence of the Holy Spirit that both inside of you and also stands before the throne of God, I believe in a sense your reborn spirit is transported into the throne room of grace. Now, let me tell you what's so great about prayer. First of all, where it takes you, just to be in the presence of God. That's pretty neat. You spend some time there, and it puts a lot of things in perspective. But something else, watch this. As you're there, and as you're praying for things in the presence of God, come on, how many times is prayer, your intent to pray for others turned into a personal revival in your own life? Because the Holy Spirit is not shy about interrupting your prayer list. See, some of these things I try to pray through real quick. You know, Lord, pray for this, and this, you know, because you know why we're doing it. Because we want them to be that. But have you ever noticed the Holy Spirit just kind of shuts down at some point and says, okay, from this point on, you're going on your own until you listen to me. Okay. All right. You know, I'm glad you're praying for that person in that area of their life. But let's talk about it. And so many times, my intent, watch this, as a leader to go and pray for my children about a need in their life comes into a session between me and God about that area of my life. And sometimes, as a follower praying for my leaders in an area of their life, God turns it into a session to deal with me about that area of my life. I hope this has been helpful to you. I know we gave you a lot in a short amount of time. Heavenly Father, bless. Lord, our Sunday school lesson, Lord, the goal here, or the intent, the byproduct of this, quiet and peaceful life. Quiet and peaceable life. Lord, we would love to live in a nation, dear God, where it's awash with the blessing of God. There's a holy hedge and a holy protection. And although we'll never live in heaven till we get there, but maybe a little touch of heaven. And yet, Lord, we watch a nation rush the other direction and rush for destruction. Lord, help us in these months ahead to pray. Pray for our leaders. God bless them. Help them. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.